Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Today we rejoice, for the Lord brings justice. Everyone can see God's glory. Together we can love God and resist evil. May God protect and strengthen us and all God's people. You are the Lord's people. Let's celebrate and praise the one and only God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith. You are not only risen and alive, you are Lord. This your ascension and ascendancy over the whole universe. You stand over and above all that is best in life as its source. You stand above all that is worst as the ultimate victor. You stand above all powers and authorities as judge. You stand above all failure and weakness and sin as forgiveness and love. You alone are worthy of total allegiance, total commitment. You are Lord, and my God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 16th chapter of Acts, verses 16 through 34. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I ordered you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our cities. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adored. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. Jesus, the Savior reigns, the God of truth and life. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say.
Death and hell.
sing glorious hope. Jesus the judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. We soon shall hear
Our scripture text this morning comes from the 17th chapter of John, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Imagine some great figure from the past, maybe Abraham Lincoln or George Washington, maybe Martin Luther King Jr., John Fitzgerald Kennedy, or even John Wesley. Think of someone you respect and admire. Now imagine that historians have just found among old manuscripts a letter from that great person himself. And imagine that it was talking about you. How would you feel? This is how we should feel as we read this prayer. Jesus is talking about you. He's talking about me. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word. Hey, we've made it to the Bible after all. Jesus is kneeling and he's pouring out his heart to God the Father. And suddenly Jesus stops and says, in essence, Father, I do not pray for Peter and James and John and Andrew and Bartholomew only, but I also pray for Charles and Mabry and Daryl and for Ashton and for Judy and for David and for Jeremy. Jesus has loved us for so very long, and he's been praying for us for so long as well. And I'm convinced Jesus is still praying for us, ceaselessly interceding. Jesus' love is so much deeper and stronger than any other love. And for those of us who are Christian, we can rest in that fact with confidence and assurance, no matter the difficulties that we're facing. How might our prayer lives change if we were to sit quietly each day, knowing that we are not only praying to Jesus, but that Jesus has been praying for us all along? Next week, we will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And one of the gifts brought to you and me is this. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever needed to pray but couldn't quite put it into words? Allow the Holy Spirit to pray for you with sighs too deep for words. Our prayer lives, our spiritual lives, our entire lives are so enriched and strengthened that when we regularly become quiet with confidence, that's when the Holy Spirit is praying for us. What might such a revelation mean for young people, for example, who are fearful of the future and worried about what to do with their lives? What might such a spiritual awareness do for us who are in trouble, and for older people who face illness and uncertainty about what the coming year might bring? What a gift to be able to bring all of our cares and our concerns to God in prayer, knowing that we are loved and cared about beyond measure, even when it seems that the entire world is crashing down around us. In his prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying that we all may be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. As Jesus puts it, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me. May they be brought to complete unity. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them and that I myself might be in them. Has this happened? As in any human relationship, unity cannot be forced. There can be no bullying or manipulation. God does not force our hand. We have free will, but we also have the Spirit and Christ praying for us. One of the most frequently asked questions which puzzles persons who come to United Methodist Church for the first time comes from our Apostles' Creed. And it's one of the great statements of faith produced by early Christians. What puzzles people is when we say that we believe in the one holy Catholic Church. And surely they must think we're not Catholics. But the answer, of course, is the word Catholic means the Church Universal. It does not mean strictly Roman Catholic. Jesus is praying that we, United Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, non-denominationalists, Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Seventh-day Adventists, you name it, that we may be one, united by our common faith that Jesus is Lord. And this unity is meant to mirror nothing less than the unity between the Father and the Son. And in case we miss the point, the result of this is that the world will see us and know that this kind of human community, united across all traditional barriers of race, custom, gender, or class, can only come from the action of God, so that the world may believe. Unity is vital. Often we sense it. Sometimes we experience it when, for a moment, we meet Christians from a totally different background and discover that despite our differences and the traditions that keep us apart, we know a unity of love and devotion that cannot be broken. But again, we are not living into Christ's prayer for us, and the world suffers for that big time. In a lost and broken world which is divided and where the divisions have often run down so-called religious lines, there is really no excuse for us Christians not to work together towards the unity that Jesus prays for. We really are one faith, and we are to be one in our life and in our worship. What can you and I do to work towards this unity? Think about it. Pray about it. And if you don't know how to pray about it, sit quietly and allow the Holy Spirit to pray about it for you. And then listen for God's still, small voice calling you to action. Dear saints, not only is Christ praying for us continually, not only does God's love continue unconditionally with a love so deep that we can never get our heads around it, this church loves you. We need one another. And when it feels like the world is crashing down around you, this church is here for you. But of course, as in our relationship with God, we cannot force ourselves upon one another. There's no bullying. There's no manipulation. I am convinced that this church would do just about anything for anybody. Why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit of God is in this place. He's in your hearts. I've seen it over and over again in just the last few years of being with you. If you're going through difficulties, don't move away from your brothers and sisters who love you. Move toward us as we desire so greatly to move toward you. Our ministry to one another is just as important to the one serving as the one being served. This is the beginning of living into Jesus' prayer. Let's never put barriers up. And beyond that, may we never put barriers up between ourselves and this community. Again, sit quietly and allow the Holy Spirit to pray for ways to bring the surrounding community so filled with pain and frustration into the loving unity of Christ's church. We need to come with non-confrontational ways to get involved in our community and to make it a big deal. We want to get to know our neighbors. We want to set out a feast for them. We need and want to enjoy one another's company. We need to pray about how we can contribute, how that might look for us in the future. This entire church needs to be part of the evangelism team for our area, reaching out in the name of Jesus' love. That should be our goal. That is our calling. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. What can you do to help ensure that this happens? Think about it. Pray about it. Listen for the answer from God, and then just do it. Don't hesitate. Just do it. You and I, friends, were in the Bible. Jesus has known us long before we were born. And Jesus prayed for us and continues to do so. What could be more exciting than that? To be the topic, to be a subject of Jesus' prayers. There's an old prayer from the Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard, who died in 1855 at the age of 42. He struggled with the meaning of faith as deeply as any Christian in recent memory. One of his famous prayers is this: Father in heaven, you've loved us first. Help us never to forget that you are love, so that this sure conviction might triumph in our hearts over the seduction of the world, over the inequitude of the soul, over the anxiety of the future, over the fright of the past, over the distress of the moment. You have loved us first, O God, alas. We speak of it in terms of history, as if you have only loved us first but a single time, rather than without ceasing. You have loved us first many times and every day and our whole life through. Let us never forget that, my dear friends. And may God's unceasing love for us translate into our love for one another and our love for our community and our love for this world. Won't you pray with me this morning? Father God, we thank you, Lord, for loving us. That you loved us so much that Jesus came and provided us a way to be able to be one with you. Father, we also give thanks that Jesus considers us. He considers us as he prays each day to you. We give you thanks, Lord, for sending Jesus to represent us, to take our place, Father. And we certainly, Father, give you thanks for the salvation that comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we are able to come to you and to pray to you and to give our all to you. We pray, Father, that you would change us. Let us love one another as Jesus loved us. Of course, Father, we give all glory to you. And we bow before your throne, Lord, in majesty of all the wonderful things you do in our lives. We pray these things, Father, in the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Love and do.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant, and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.